Good morning, Ebenezer. Welcome, family. It's good to have a chance to try to touch base with you, and just a little different for all of us. I know this is certainly new for me, so just pray with us as we're going through this. I know it's not professional in a sense, but we're just trying to be who we are as brothers and sisters in Christ, and just want to try to encourage you today as we're going through a lot of difficulties with the changes with the coronavirus and changes to our lives and all the things we're being confronted with that are new on a daily basis. And I know as Southern Baptists, we're not really comfortable with change, or we voice that quite often, but we need to be certainly ever mindful of the fact that the Word of God does not change, but the way that we go about sharing that Word and living that Word out on a daily basis may change in the methods of how we do that, but we remain faithful to the Word. Do want to encourage you that we will be taking tithes through sending through the mail to our address here at the church is 4005 Highway 414, Landrum, South Carolina, 29356. You can mail that in. If it gets here before noon on Monday, it will be deposited this week. If not, then we will deposit with the following week's deposits. You can also drop by the church, and we will be here on Mondays and Wednesdays between 9 and 11 to make sure there's someone here that can take that for you. If you're afraid to get out, you don't want to send it through the mail, we're working on a process to be able to give online. If you're still not comfortable with that, you can make a phone call to us here at the church, and Brandon or myself will come by and pick that up. Also, if you would like, we can come by this time too and maybe have a brief devotion with you, have a time to pray with you, as we're able to meet in smaller groups but not in a large corporate setting. And so we just want to do everything we can to be able to minister to you, to be servants to you during this time. If someone has to go to the hospital, please update us and keep us updated on that, as we're not able to go to the hospitals to be in nursing homes at this time. But we certainly want to try to encourage those and pray with those and pray for those that are going through these things. So keep us abreast of that through contacting the office, contacting Glory, myself, or Brandon. And so we want to minister to you. We want to be a servant. We want to help you in your time of need. One of the ways we want to do that today is really just to encourage you to be in prayer, to spend time each and every day praying for a nation, praying for the first responders, the doctors, the nurses, everyone who's trying to help on the front lines there, for those that are trying to help develop cures, those who are trying to help those who are seeking to recover. We want to try to pray for them and just pray the Lord's protection over them, that all that's needed will be provided for them, as for their protections as well, for their families. Pray for our children and our youth, as the parents as well, as they're out of school right now. We're going to continue to monitor the situation, and right now we don't have services through April the 1st, but we'll be evaluating that before that time and trying to get word out to everyone of what our schedule, what our plans will be. We're certainly trying to abide by the directions from our government leaders, the CDC, for protection of everyone. We are taking this serious, but yet at the same time, we know who our hope is in, who our faith is in. And we certainly want to try to continue to live out our faith. Folks, take advantage of this time to be the church, not just to come to church in a building, but to actually be the church, to check on your neighbors, check on those within the church, check on your family. Try to be a servant to them, to help them if you're able to. If you're in that category that you can't get out, or they're warning you not to get out, if we can help in some way, and individuals, we need to be checking on those that are older to see if we can help them, if they don't have family that can help them, or neighbors, even to go purchase groceries, those kind of things that they need, pick up medicines and supplies for them. Let us know if we can do any of that here, and we'll be glad to help any way we can. I want to open with a word of prayer, and then our scripture today is going to be from the book of Mark, found in chapter 11. We've completed our study on the five pillars of marriage. And so we're beginning to prepare for the Easter season to celebrate our Lord's death, burial, and resurrection. But as I was preparing for today, the Lord took me to this verses of Scripture some months ago before we even really heard about the coronavirus to prepare for today. And it's a message I pray that will encourage all of us that Jesus is a Savior for all nations. Let us pray. Our most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you today. We thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy that you've extended to us as your children. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for our salvation. We pray now, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those that are older, that may be battling with some type of illness. Lord, that you would protect them, especially during this time, Lord, and that you would use us to help minister to them and encourage them. Lord, in a difficult time, I pray, Lord, that we would be wise and we would listen to those that are in authority over us and we'd submit to that authority according to your word. And Lord, that with that, Lord, that we would be witnesses of you, Lord, in all of our actions as well as our words. Lord, that we would take this time, Lord, when we have so much time available upon our hands, Lord, to do the things that we quite often put aside, Lord, because of the business of life. And Lord, that through this we would learn that we need to set aside time to worship you through prayer, through the study of your word, Lord, through listening to you, Lord, and through the Holy Spirit leading us as we study your word to then apply your word to our lives and live out our faith on a daily basis. And Lord, that we would acknowledge you as Lord and Savior of all. And that through that, Lord, that we would be a witness to you, Lord, here at home. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for our missionaries that are across the world now, Lord, that you'd be with them to be just that now, Lord, to be salt and light where you've placed them, and that we would do that here at home. Lord, I pray as we're taking up as Southern Baptists our Annie Armstrong Easter offering, Lord, that we would be mindful of the fact that with what's taking place, Lord, we're already hearing from North American Mission Board that the offerings may be smaller because of the fear and the panic, even among brothers and sisters in Christ. And I pray, Lord, we would be faithful to give. We will continue to take our offerings here through Easter. And, Lord, that we would just do that in a way to give generously and by faith, Lord, to keep those missionaries on the field where they're at, Lord, to be that salt and light, Lord, that we would have faith that you're going to provide for each and every one of us, Lord, as you provide our sustenance each and every day. Lord, I ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. As we begin our study today in Mark chapter 11, we're going to begin in verses 12 through 14. It's a time where people all over the world are really questioning and begin to wonder if there is an answer for the pandemic that's taking place, if there's a cure for the virus. And I'll tell you, there is a cure that's already been given long before now, even before we even knew there was a virus. That cure is found through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that as Christians, we don't live as those without hope, but our hope is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And with that we come today to testify to that, and we see it lived out in the lives of those during the time of Christ that they were not living that out. And I want to say, I don't know if the Lord's really bringing judgment upon his church. You know, one of the things that I look at is that, you know, people are questioning those things, and we don't know yet. We really don't know. But he's taken away the excuses of sports and the things that we do that tie up our time there, entertainment and pleasure. As we talked about earlier during our time of Sunday school and our study there. But the one thing that he's given us is the full opportunity to acknowledge him as Lord and Savior, and his followers to live out our lives in a way that honors him and is obedient to him. And in doing so, that we would also be that witness to those around us. You know, for the longest time, everything about the focus in American Christendom is joining together in the church, coming together in the church to worship. And for the first time, and really maybe in the history of the church, history of our nation, excuse me, that we don't have that freedom like we normally do. But we can certainly correlate this to those who are persecuted around the world. We can relate to them of what it means to have to meet in homes and small groups of numbers because we're limited to 10. Some areas are not even able to do that because they're told to shelter in place. But we can, through social media, as we're doing now, connect with one another. We can call each other and pray with and for each other. We can even call coworkers and others that we may know that may not be followers of Christ. They've not borne any fruit of the Spirit in any way, as we read in the book of Galatians there, of those who are born again believers. Maybe through our own time and building relationship with them and sharing with them, that we know that there are things that they have need of, things that they're fearful of, that we can maybe call them and just offer to pray with them and share with them how we have the peace that we have and how we can know that that peace is assured through our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we come to our story today, Jesus has already, in the chapter, first part of chapter 11, already entered into Jerusalem. He has already gone to the temple. He has left and gone back out to Bethany, where he's staying during this time. And now as we pick up the story in these verses, we see that he is leaving Bethany, going back into Jerusalem, but he's going to go into the temple. And once he gets there, it's one of the several places where we find in Scripture where he went in and cleansed the temple. And some would say cleansed, and it may be that he condemned the actions that were taking place at the temple, and the fact that it should have been a place where people from all nations could come and acknowledge God and to worship him. And yet there were so many barriers and so many hindrances had been put up to where the people could not come into the temple and could not worship God. And they were not being told about God, for that matter, either. You know, it's easy to look back at this and think, well, this is referring to a time when they were following the ways of the Old Testament with the sacrifice of animals and those things. But Christ had not gone to the cross at this time. He was about to go there to make that sacrifice for us once for all. But the thing we need to look at is where we are today in the church. You know, we are living in the American church, even what we call small churches, that we have great expanses of facilities and places to meet, many times large buildings. When we think about the temple, it was one of the larger facilities there in Jerusalem. It stood out among all the peoples. This was the place where the Jews came together to worship and where they met with God. And you know, when they came in, it was like they were doing it this time of the year, and they were coming to prepare to offer their sacrifices and to worship God. There would be large gatherings would come together. I look at our churches on Sundays especially, and it's the very day that most people were upset that we could not come together and worship together corporately. But you know, when we come together, how often do we come together like these folks of the Pharisees and the Sadducees and others, that we come with a certain perspective of worshiping God and what that looks like and how we're to do that, and then also how much time we're going to give God to meet with him. You know, and how often are we going to meet with God? We live in a time today when a faithful member of the church is someone who's considered, it comes once a month. We know that the temple now is our bodies and the Spirit dwells within us, and that we are going to talk more about that in just a moment. But at the same time, he also tells we're not to forsake the assembling of the body. Now, at this current moment, we can't do that. But what we can do is we can come together in our homes. And I encourage, as you're comfortable to do this, is to meet with members of the body of Christ that live there close to you, to gather together for times of studying the Bible, maybe even times like this where the word is being preached and you can gather together and have a time to pray and hear God's word preached. Maybe just right there, even if it's a cappella, to sing hymns or sing scripture and sing praises to the Lord there as a body of believers, to lift up the name of Christ, to worship him and acknowledge that he is first in our lives. But at the time that Jesus came, the people were going through more a ritual. It was more just religion and a thing to do. And we live very much in a similar time today for many. And I'm not saying all, but for many, it's a matter of, it's the thing to do in the South is to go to church on Sunday because we practice our religion, so to speak, on Sundays. Or this is when we come together to do this, and then we scatter in all these other ways throughout the rest of the week. And so things are quite different for us now. It's been a culture shock to all of us. Doing what I'm doing right now, to be online and doing this in a way in social media, is not the norm for us here at Ebenezer Welcome. But it's where we are today, and it probably is more what it looks like for the future. as the Lord has tried for a long time to shake us and to pour us out, that we can be like that salt poured out and be a sweet flavor to those around us, and that we can be that witness for Him. And fewer and fewer are going and proclaiming the message of the gospel. Fewer and fewer are going not only here in our area, but to go from our Jerusalem to Judea, Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the world to tell others about Christ. As a matter of fact, many Christians never tell anyone about Christ. But the other thing is that as we are changing and having to adapt to this, is that we're getting out of some of those comfort zones of I just show up and someone else leads in a Bible study or in preaching, and I take in what knowledge I can, but I maybe don't even regularly apply that to my life, is I come and I go through the motions, so to speak, week after week. But now you can't be as dependent, in a sense, on others, but you have to actually do what we should be doing anyway, is to get into the Word and begin to feed ourselves and to grow, and to do that in a way to draw closer to God during this time, to experience His peace, and for Him to guide us through these desperate times that we live in. But as we begin today in verse 12, it says, "Now the next day when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to the fig tree, 'Let no one eat fruit from you ever again.' And his disciples heard it." Now, as we see this description of the fig tree, and as we're going to tie the story together, in between the initial time where Jesus sees the leaves on the tree, and the indication is putting on this big show is, hey, I am fruitful. I'm a fruit tree, and I'm bearing fruit. And I'm going to be able to feed you and provide for you. And Jesus goes over, and when he gets there, there's no fruit on the tree. And he sees it's all for show. And I wonder how often that our churches bear little fruit because we're interested in programs and we're there for show, and it's all there as to put on this big performance or production, rather than being focused upon worshiping God and witnessing to people and teaching them about Him, and that we grow in that relationship with Him through discipleship of meeting together for the purpose of knowing Him more intimately and drawing closer together as brothers and sisters in Christ. Well, that's where the temple was at this time, is it was mainly for show, in a sense that it was controlled by a group of people that were hungry for power. They were greedy. They were self-serving. And if we're not careful, it can be that way today among the clergy. It can be that way among those who are seeking to start in a small church and look for a way to move up to a larger church. And they're not looking for what does the Lord want for our lives. And I'm not trying to be obedient to the Lord, but I'm going to do what I want to do. You know, I remember as I was at Baptist College in the old days, Charleston Southern University now, I was not a believer. And I remember that I was in places I shouldn't have been, doing things I shouldn't have done. And as I was there in that setting, quite often there were those who were a part of FCA. There were those there that were in the religious studies department. There were those there that were children of pastors or missionaries or worship leaders. And I remember in that setting with them, first of all, thinking of the hypocrisy of when we're on campus, they're preaching to me and trying to tell me how I should live and how what I should do. And now we're together doing things that I know were wrong, and I'm not even a believer, and yet they're participating in as well. But while they're there, they're talking about position and status and size of churches and the jobs and what they pay and their desire for those things and what size church they want to serve in and how they want to make a certain amount of money in those things. And I've told my sweet wife, I said, if we were to walk into a church today and I saw some of those same people, it would literally scare the hell out of me to wonder, are they truly there because Christ called them and that they have repented of those attitudes and that heart and that spirit, and they're true shepherds of God, called by God to lead others to know Him and to walk with Him? Are they like what we're talking about today? Are they there just putting on a production and a show? Because you see, God didn't call me to put on a production, to be an entertainer, to put on a show. But he called me to be a faithful servant. And it's times like this that people understand and know those who are called and separated apart from those who are not. And Jesus starts this story in the book of Mark dealing with a fig tree. And he's saying that we need to be fruitful, not fruitless. And we need to be producing the fruits of the Spirit in our lives individually. But we also need to be producing fruit in the kingdom too by proclaiming the message of the gospel. Bringing people to Jesus like an Andrew and pointing them to him and their need for him. Bringing them that they might know him and might know that he is the Lord and Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And in that, that we're being faithful witnesses in our daily walk. But as we see the story unfolding here, when Jesus said, "Let no one eat fruit from you ever again," and his disciples heard it. This wasn't some fable that someone told him about. This wasn't some story that he was making up. But what he was doing actually was living out and acting out a parable. But the parable was very serious in the sense that he's making it clear that there are things here on earth that are not matching up with heaven, which is what it should be doing. And so he's bringing it out to make a point that he is condemning the temple and he's condemning the religious leaders for producing no fruit by putting on a show, but yet not being faithful and fruitful in faithfulness to God and pointing them to him and worshiping him themselves. You know, when I remember reading this years ago as a young teenager, and as I read this, I was not a believer, but the other thing that's kind of confusing is I'm reading about a fig tree and a story about a fig tree, and in the middle of it, all of a sudden, Jesus goes into a fit and rage and he cleanses the temple out. And then it goes back to the fig tree, and I'm thinking, this doesn't really make a lot of sense to me, but I was not a believer. I did not have the Holy Spirit dwelling in me at the time. I didn't have him for a teacher to help me to understand. But what we're beginning to see here is the importance of the fig tree wrapped around there is giving us the story of how Jesus is going to condemn the temple. And he's not condemning the building, he's condemning those that worship in the temple or should be worshiping those religious leaders who have not been faithful and fruitful. And that with that, he's going to bring cursing upon them that they promise one thing and deliver something else. In verse 15, it says, "So they came to Jerusalem. Then Jesus went into the temple and began to drive out those who bought and sold in the temple and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of those who sold doves. And he would not allow anyone to carry wares through the temple. Then he taught, saying to them, 'Is it not written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations, but you have made it a den of thieves?' And the scribes and the Pharisees and chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. When evening had come, he went out of the city." And so we're told here that Jesus did go into that fit of rage, that righteous anger. As the great high priest, he exercised the authority that he had over the temple. And for a period of time, he cleansed the temple when he made the cord of the whip of cords, and he ran them out. And it says that he stopped them from carrying their wares through. As there were those that were so irreverent that they would were there for business, and they were there for the purpose of trying to make money and take advantage of those who were coming to worship God. They would go through a shortcut rather than go through the way that they should have, and trying to take shortcuts and not have any reverence, any awe, any fear of God. You know, I wonder how often in the churches that in the South, it used to be very prevalent years ago, and I wonder today, there's still some of it, I'm sure, and I see it on a regular basis, where people come and they want to join the church, and a lot of times it's because they're a business person, and it might be that they're looking more at how can I get to build relationships and get business rather than how can I draw closer to the Lord, how can I worship him, how can I be a servant to him, how can I grow in that relationship and then teach others to do the same. I'm thankful for those businessmen, those that are in love with the Lord Jesus Christ, that are faithful and fruitful, and they're committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's always those, just as we're seeing even during this pandemic that's taking place, they're always looking for a way for easy money. And people always come to the understanding, well, if they're part of the church is they're my brother in Christ, so certainly they're going to give me a good deal or take care of me or be fair with me. But there are those who come within the church as wolves in sheep's clothing to take advantage of those within the body of Christ. And so Jesus confronts these people that are in many cases charging exorbitant prices to exchange the monies, because you got to understand, in the time, you could not take Roman money and coins into the temple and use that money. You had to get money exchanged to get temple currency, and they were charging exorbitant prices to do that. But then also, for those who were come from long distances that didn't bring their sacrifices with them, they were selling sacrifices that were supposed to be perfect, unblemished sacrifices. They were selling those that were crippled and lame, and they were blemished, and they were not acceptable to God. And then they were charging exorbitant prices for that, for them to purchase those and then make that sacrifice. And these were the religious leaders that were leading this and doing this and allowing this to happen. So Jesus' condemnation is coming down primarily upon the religious leaders. And I know some of you may be sitting here thinking, "Preacher, I thought you was going to bring us a word of encouragement and hope today." And I am. Because Jesus is the great high priest, and he is the leader of his temple, and he is holy and righteous and just. And it was a holy and righteous anger that he's bringing out here to share with, that we can see that example against the religious leaders. You know, I think about revival and how people say, you know, our nation needs to turn back and we need to see revival happen in our nation, and we do. But everybody's looking at revival is going to be all these people that are not believers that are going to come to faith and they're going to get saved. And we certainly desire and want to see that. But let me just remind all of us is that that revival starts in the house of God. You know, when the word came down that we were only going to have 10 or less could meet at a time, I met with several pastors, and everybody's greatest concern was, you know, we don't want to stop meeting together because we know statistically that if someone is out of church typically 3 or 4 weeks in a row, we've known this for 3 or 4 decades, we've talked about it now, is how hard it is to get back involved and connected in the church. But let me just say this, is these are different times too. And we can't look back at statistics and things from where it was 40 years ago. What we've got to do is find ways to stay connected and get connected now with the brothers and sisters in Christ that are part of the body of Christ, but also to reach out to those that are lost. For some that are those that are like these religious leaders, they're just kind of going through the traditions and the rituals of showing up for church from week to week and just coasting along and complacent and comfortable. Their world's being rocked today. Because you see, they're still trying to live more in the world we live in here rather than looking forward to our heavenly home and our time there and seeing how many can go with us by our witness and our testimony, people coming to faith that will join us there in that heavenly home with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven one day. But now their world's rocked. And so Jesus is bringing condemnation upon the temple. And with that, he says, quoting from Isaiah, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. You know, when we look at the church here in America, most of the time for those that are members of Ebenezer Welcome, especially those that grew up here in this community, you think about immediately the church body that meets here. You know, and that's great that we're a part of a local New Testament body and we're thinking about each other and we're praying for one another. But this should remind us too when it says that it's a house of prayer for all nations. And with that is that we need to be mindful of the fact that the same God who saved us doesn't just save Americans just like he didn't just save Jews. He's creating a way for the Gentiles to be able to come to him and to worship him when he cleanses the temple. Because the Jews have put up all these hindrances and roadblocks for them to be able to come to him and the barriers that they can't do that. And so he's cleansing the temple and trying to get them to refocus upon him and the need for everybody to have the opportunity to come to him. But you know, when I think about that, I think about the nations, and we served in Central Asia, and we didn't have church buildings at that time to be able to go to and to worship in. So we worshiped in our homes. This is a time much like Acts chapter 2, where they went from house to house. And it may be soon a time where, too, we may need to have all things in common, is that we help one another as brothers and sisters in Christ also. And so we need to begin to pray now, Lord, whatever you have blessed me with, that I want to use it for your glory. We should be praying that anyway with everything that we've received, we steward over. And that we are willing to use that to point others to him and to bring him glory, and that we, others might worship him as we do. But as we see here, he says, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. You know, people are literally scattered from America all over the world. We're hearing about those trying to get home, and then those that, if they can't get home, that you may need to plan to stay there for long periods of time. They don't know how long this is going to last. But I think about those that were called by God that said a long time ago, Lord, here am I, and I'll go. Wherever it is you're sending me, I'll go. And they have gone there to be with them and to stay with them. And this is a great opportunity to be a witness right now, because many are going to question, you had the opportunity to go back to America to where there's all kinds of good health care that may not be available here, and yet why did you stay? And it's because they want to tell them about Christ, because the Lord's given them a great love for them. And they also understand that in many of these places, large numbers, as many as 99.9% of them, are lost and on their way to hell. You know, we need to begin to view things like that here in America, not thinking that everybody has an opportunity to hear the gospel preached either on television or radio or on the internet or to go to a church service. Unbelievably, many people, there are large numbers here in South Carolina, in the heart of the Bible Belt, that have never heard the Word of God proclaimed. And so the Lord's given us that opportunity now to do just that. But also it says, you've made it a den of thieves. You know, and I'm not accusing people of taking advantage of people and taking their money. But you know, it's sad that right here in the city where we're at, in Greenville, South Carolina, on some of the biggest things that have been on the news before coronavirus were two churches arguing and fighting in lawsuits against one another over a property to meet. And folks, that's disappointing. That's discouraging. But you know, with that, it can harm the testimony of Christ. And what we need to do is be sharing the love of God with each other. And we need to pray for those in those situations that would be resolved, and it'd be in a way that would honor the Lord. And so that we don't make it a den of thieves, and that's what he's bringing against them. But it says, and the scribes and the chief priests heard it and sought how they might destroy him, for they feared him because all the people were astonished at his teaching. You see, it was one thing when Jesus was out in these little small towns and he's at the synagogues, and so he's kind of bringing condemnation against these little country preachers. But now he's in the big city, the most holy city. He's in the place there where it's the most holy place in all of Judaism. And he is calling them out and literally running them out of the temple with a whip. And now they want to kill him. And so we're setting up for the Passion Week and for the time where Christ went to the cross and died for our sins. But before that, we see what's taking place as he was trying to cleanse the temple. And there's a lot of us during this time, we need to take time to be in the Word and allow the Lord to cleanse us too. That we need to have some humble confession of sin. And that with that, we will acknowledge that there's sin in our lives, and we need to ask the Lord to forgive us of that. But we also need to ask him to cleanse us and restore us in that relationship to him, and then use us that we might be fruitful as a witness and a testimony for Christ. And the last portion of scripture we want to look at today is found in verses 20 through 25, is that Jesus will challenge us to believe in God and to not doubt or fear. Boy, what a word for us today in the times that we live in. For Christians especially. Because, you know, when we turn that TV on and we sit there and watch for hour on end, after an hour on end of negative, discouraging news and the fear and the threats. I know many of you have gone to purchase items, and we've heard about the toilet paper and the ammunition and all those things that are gone now, and the guns are being bought up, and the fear among people. Listen, this is a time for us to use common sense and just trust the Lord. To live out who it is that we say we are, not to be hypocrites in it, but that we worship God in spirit and truth, and we trust him through the good times and the difficult times as well, that he's going to be there with us to help us. He goes back to the story of the fig tree in verse 20. It says, now in the morning, after he had left Jerusalem and after he had cleansed the temple, it says, now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. So Jesus answered and said to him, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. And finally, in verse 26, but if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. You know, two things that Jesus is trying to teach us here after the temple had been cleansed and remind us is that Peter noticed. Now, Peter, a lot of times, is known for sticking his foot in his mouth and saying things that maybe he spoke before he thought. But here he saw and observed what had happened was the leaves were dried up. The tree was dead. And Jesus is making it very clear here. If you put on this show and you don't produce fruit because you're not living committed to him in righteousness, he doesn't need us. He can set us aside and move on. We need him. We need to humble ourselves and depend upon him so that we can be fruitful in serving him, in our witness of him, that he will empower us, that he will strengthen us, that he will use us as vessels that can be used, that have been cleansed by his shed blood through his righteousness, and that we can glorify him. Now, Hudson Taylor said that God uses men that are so weak that they have to lean upon God. You see, we can't do it in our strength. We can get so far with that, but then we're going to fail. And when we're doing it in our own strength, we're doing just what Jesus said here, is we're living for show rather than living in a way to show the one we believe in and trusting him and pointing others to him. We're living to try to live a way to say that follow me in what I do because I've got it all figured out. And I want to tell you here, folks, I'm still learning more and more about Christ every day. And I'm learning more and more of his truths and understanding about how I am to live my life that I can then try to live before him and with others and before them to point them to him. As we look at our study today, Peter had noticed that the tree had withered and Jesus didn't answer, say, yeah, it didn't produce fruit, so I killed it. But what he says to them is this, he says, have faith in God. You see, I think back to the story of Jonah when he got upset over the vine that withered away. And the Lord said, don't worry about that vine. You're more concerned about that than you are all these souls that have repented over here and been saved because they've placed their faith in God. Can be concerned about souls. And folks, I want to tell you right now, we need to make sure that we're right with the Lord first of all. If there's any doubt, any question in your life about whether you know that you know you've given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and you've committed yourself to him and you're saved. That's first in priority. But the other thing is we also need to be thinking about the souls of others. You know, when we hear those numbers of 475 and then yesterday 600 Italians dying, does it not ever cross your mind and you think about, Lord, how many of those went out into eternity not knowing you separated from you for eternity in hell? And was there ever opportunities that they had to repent and turn to you? Did anyone ever tell them about Jesus? But we need to have faith in God. Our Sunday school lesson today was about faith. And Jesus says, have faith in God to his disciples. And we are those disciples. And so the second thing he tells them is, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he said will be done, that he will have whatever he says. You know, when he says that, I think about James too, and he says, you have not because you ask not, or you ask with the wrong motive. Now, Jesus is not talking about here that we're sitting there asking for health and wealth and blessing and all those things as the priority. We should be praying, Lord, first of all, I want to commit my life to you. Secondly, I want to obey you and follow you all the days of my life. I want to live with faith in God alone. But at the same time, he's telling us here that when we have no doubt that we're completely committed to believing the truth that he is Lord and that he will answer our prayer and he will do according to what we ask in his will, that it will be done. And folks, I want to tell you, that brings great assurance and great peace in this time of trouble, because that's what a lot of people right now are missing, is peace and joy in their lives. There's great stress, there's worry, there's fear. Everything that the Lord tells us not to concern ourselves with, and yet we would have his peace and his joy as his children. And so that we would have faith in God. But notice too that it was coming about through prayer. He says, anyone who says to this mountain, be removed. You know what we're doing here? He's really referring to the fact that in whatever things you ask or when you pray, believe that you receive them. He's saying we need to pray. You know, a lot of them made fun of our vice president when he prayed before they met with the group, trying to figure things out and trying to stay ahead of this and trying to lead us. And they said, you Christians, these atheists saying, you Christians, you know, you're over here counting on your God. Absolutely, we're counting on God because we have no one else to count on. No other place to put our hope. But you know, he tells them to be wise too. And he surrounded himself with those that are very brilliant in trying to figure these things out. But the prayer is, Lord, give them the understanding. Help us in our time of need. And we're trusting you that you're going to do this for your glory and for your honor. And that lives will be saved. But you know what we also need to be praying as Christians? Lord, as you save them physically, would you help lead us to, in some way, to point them to you, that you would save them spiritually from the eternal death in hell? And that we would be faithful to do that. And Jesus said, the last part of this is talking about forgiveness. He says, and whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But notice what he says too. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive your trespasses. Folks, we need to begin with repentance ourselves. And I was talking about revival earlier and how that comes about. It comes about when Christians that are not walking in faith with God, that are not being obedient to God, that are in open sin against God, that we confess our sins and we ask for forgiveness. But it also happens when those who have sinned against us, is we offer and give them forgiveness of their sin against us. He says, don't come to me unless you've forgiven others. How can we ask for what we're not willing to give to others ourselves and expect that we're going to receive that? You know, the Lord told us that as his disciples, we are to love one another as he loved us. And that others will know that we're his disciples by the love that we have for one another. He is the Savior for all the nations, not just America. And a lot of people were thinking, if I can just get out of Europe and get out of those areas that are affected by the virus and get to America, we have probably nearly as many people affected nationwide as they have in all of Italy. We haven't had the deaths yet that they've had. But there's no guarantee, because you have an American passport or citizenship, that you're safe. The only way we're safe is we have that commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ through faith, repentance in him, and that we have a home that's eternal that one day we're going to go to. But while we're here, we have a mission to fulfill in living out our lives of faith and praying and committing ourselves to him and pointing others to him, that we too don't face that condemnation that the temple faced and the religious leaders faced when Jesus was here on earth. I pray the Lord's blessings upon you. If you want to have conversation further, or if you'd like to talk to me, if I can help you, maybe to point you to Christ and teaching you how you can know Christ and you can give your life to him and begin that journey of faith, is you can contact me through pastor@ewbcweb.com. You can call our church office, 864-895 1461. Leave a message if no one's here, and we will get back to you. If you would like prayer, you can email us at ewbcweb.com, and we will be glad to pray for you. If you want someone to come and visit you and share with you in your home, we'll be glad to meet with you and tell you how you can know Christ or to help that discipleship process begin, and that you can grow in your relationship with Him, and that you can begin that journey of faith or live out your life of faith in Christ. God bless you, and good day.